You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 144, Dumbo, Worst Circus Ever. This episode was brought to you by the patrons. That's right. To find out more about how you can get your favorite movie nominated, head on over to rotoscopers.com/Patreon. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chelsea Robson. Say hello.
Hello.
For those of you who are new to the Animation Addicts Podcast, this is a show all about animation, animated movies, past and present. We dive in, we review a movie each time, and today we are going to be talking about a particular Disney movie, which Disney seems to be, you know, I'd say majority of the films we discuss, just because people request that we talk about Disney.
They really do. And if we go too long without doing a Disney, they get really... We get emails.
Yes, exactly. So this is what we call a patron pick. We have a Patreon where people who are fans of the show, listeners of the show, can support us with a monthly monetary amount. And if you pledge at a certain level, the $10 level, you get to choose what movie we will review, which is pretty exciting. And so this is a patron pick. And this episode is brought to you by our patron Fadi, who suggested that we do Dumbo. So here we are. We are reviewing Dumbo. It is one of the shortest Disney movies of all time. Which makes for easy watching.
It does. But at the same time, not easy watching. This movie is, I mean, it has a particular, let's just say it's hard to get through for those. It's just so sad.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
It's sad, meaning content, or are you sad just as you're watching it because it's not good?
No. It's a great movie.
Oh.
I like the movie, but it's sad to watch because it makes you feel for Dumbo so much. Oh. You're like, oh.
Yes, and Jumbo as well.
Yes, Jumbo.
Or the elephant matriarch is listed in the credits for, not the credits for the movie, but as you look other places like Wikipedia. So that's interesting because I don't necessarily love this movie, and I find it a bit of a grind to get through. So we'll talk about our thoughts, but first let's jump into some fun facts about the film, which we have compiled from IMDb, Wikipedia, and Box Office Mojo. The studio is Walt Disney Animation Studios, just Disney at the time. The directors, there's actually quite a few listed. There's the supervising director, and then also the sequence directors. So the supervising directors is Ben Sharpstein. And then the sequence directors are Norman Ferguson, Wilfred Jackson, Bill Roberts, Jack Kinney, and Samuel Armstrong. So quite a bit. Back in the day, there was just everyone kind of was over everything.
Yeah, just like you take this 15 minutes, you take that 15 minutes, and let's put it together.
The release date for this movie is October 31st, 1941, which is kind of interesting because as I was reading up about this movie, the actual source material, which was about Dumbo, was brought to Walt's attention in 1939.
Yeah.
So in 1939, he loved it. He said, let's buy the rights. And then 2 years later, it was released. And the film actually didn't go into production until 1941. So very, very quick turnaround. But then again, this is one of the cheaper films for them to produce. The budget was around $950,000, just barely a hair under $1 million. And it was definitely considered a success. It was one of only two films released pre-1943 that were considered a financial success. Pinocchio lost money, Fantasia lost money. Mm-hmm. So yes, it was profitable, made about $1.6 million estimated in its initial run. Obviously, it was re-released quite a few times over the years. Re-released in 1949, 1959, 1972, and 1976. Then, let's not even mention the number of times it was re-released and released on VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray. So,
from what I read, this was the very first movie that Disney released on VHS.
This and Alice in Wonderland were the kind of the first back in 1981.
Wow,
which predates us.
Yeah. Well, and it was only released for rent, and it's like, no, you cannot buy. You can only rent. Like what?
Disney, they have, you know, just from the very beginning, have been very. Very bizarre policies with their films. You know, there's the releasing it, but you can only rent it. And then the Disney Vault, so you can only buy it at certain times. Oh, Disney, you never change.
We never change. On our YouTube channel, we have quite a few videos of us doing reviews for different art books. And we have a couple reviews from J.B. Kaufman's, who was the author of he did a Pinocchio, and he also did a Snow White, and he's done several more. And I'm just thinking, oh, I would love to see an art book on Dumbo, because mm-hmm. I just think some of the art is just so endearing. It's so cute. And Dumbo himself is just such a cute character. And I was thinking, man, I would love to see that. And then as I was doing some research, I saw this one fact. I was reading an IMDb that it said cells, so like animation cells, for Dumbo are the rarest in the industry. The animators, after the scenes were safely, quote, in the can, would strew the used cells in the corridors and go sliding on them. So many of these irreplaceable cells were destroyed this way, and it broke my heart. I was like,
That's very unfortunate. That is taking your job a bit too not so seriously.
That's the thing, is like they would reuse a lot of the cells anyway, and because to save money, instead of buying new cells, they would just kind of
wipe off the paint,
off and start over. But that it was just so sad, because it was like, oh no, Dumbo.
You know, speaking of J.B. Kaufman, I have another book of his, which I'm going to be doing a review on the YouTube channel. Woo-hoo! So get ready. It's been a while. But it's actually of the Silly Symphonies.
Oh, nice.
It's a book that he had done, and he re-released it last year. So he sent it to me, and I'm actually in correspondence with him. So I should ask him, you know, to see just his thoughts on what the possibility of, you know, for one, to see what his next project is, because any book he does is amazing.
Yeah.
But Dumbo one is in the works. But so let's talk about the history of this film, because if you read any biography on Walt Disney, you know that this era definitely comes up, because this was an interesting film, because it was, one, made so cheaply, two, it was very short, three, it's kind of around the time of the writers, it's kind of around the time of the animators' strike,
mm-hmm.
which really hurt Disney and just affected him. And his relationship with the animators from that point on. So this kind of was the crux of that. So if you look at this, we have reviewed some of the films that come prior to this. So we've done Snow White, we've done Pinocchio, Fantasia. We haven't done yet, although that is coming up.
Yes, it is.
And this was the fourth film that they had done. It's just completely different as far as art style and just complexity of the characters. I mean, when I was watching initially, and you look at the animals, they are very cartoony. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they regressed a bit back to the Silly Symphonies, you know, their shorts, where it was just, okay, we have to crank these things out, so let's keep it simplified. I'm not saying that the animation is bad. It's just very much different from Pinocchio and Snow White, and even Fantasia, which were very intricate and beautiful. It does have the watercolor background cells, which Snow White has, and is very much an iconic look for Disney films, but it's really only one of the two that have it employed in this sort of fashion.
Yeah.
But even then, the backgrounds were very much simplified from what they could have been in a previous era, I guess.
Yeah.
So you know, this is almost, this is wartime.
Yeah, it was right before U.S. got into the war. Mm-hmm. Because I was reading on IMDb as well how they were actually, Time Magazine was going to do a cover, like, of the success of Dumbo. And it was going to be a cover issue. But it instead was dropped because that was when Pearl Harbor hit. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh, okay.
Wow, let's put things into perspective.
This is a change.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, something very, very important. This was made very cheaply, but this really is the film that saved the studio.
Yeah.
The others just weren't successful and lost money. And I mean, this had to be a success for Disney to continue in the way that we know it, mm-hmm. as it is today. And it was a surprising success. And you know, it's crazy how you put all this love and attention into detail into Pinocchio and Snow White. Well, Snow White was very much a success. It was more Fantasia and Pinocchio that were not. And Pinocchio really was the one that they were going, like, expecting it to be this huge heavy hitter, and it wasn't. And so they were struggling. And it's just interesting that, you know, his labor of love did not pan out the way that he wanted. But Dumbo, which is a very simple film, just, you know, knocks it out of the park.
Right. Well, and also you look at the fact that it was only 70 minutes. No,
64 minutes.
64 minutes long. And actually, RKO, who was the distributor, they really wanted Disney to extend it out to at least 70 or knock it down mm-hmm. to be a short, like mm-hmm. 30 minutes or something. And Disney was like, no,
yeah,
we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And so I think that might have been one of the reasons why, because they were still able to put it out there as a feature film.
Yeah.
And so they're able to get the money from a feature film. But at the same time, it didn't cost as much.
Yep.
Because it was.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
About 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes shorter than normal.
Yeah. Hey, no wonder they were able to get it done in basically 3/4 of a year.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So let's jump into this movie. Initial thoughts, like I'm saying, I not necessarily love this movie. This movie doesn't do much for me. And I think one reason, and we do talk about this from time to time, is I didn't really, I grew up with this movie, but I don't think I owned it. So it wasn't on my constant repertoire where I was constantly watching it. You know, I'd watch it at friends' house whenever they had it because I was excited. Like, yeah. Ooh, Dumbo, that's a movie that I don't have in my house, so let's watch it because, right. You know, I can't watch it at home. However, upon, you know, reflecting and even when watching it now, it's not my favorite. I don't have to really see this movie very often because there is a lot of filler. Like, it's 64 minutes, so in theory pretty short, but there's tons of filler in this mm-hmm. that just, like, you could cut this out, and yeah, they definitely could have made this a short subject yeah. matter. But we will talk about that.
I also did not own this on VHS. How ironic, you know, that this is the first one that I could have. But my family, I guess they just didn't. But I did have a book that had all of the, we've done a review on this book as well on the YouTube channel, but this book had basically all of the different stories from Disney, and I remember going through and I liked the book, and so that the story itself has a good feeling for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've only ever watched the movie a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
like probably less 5 or less.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Coming down the track with a smoky stack. Hear him puffing, coming round the hill. Casey's here to thrill every jack and Jill. Every time his funny little whistle sounds, everybody hurries to the circus.
One thing that really hit me as I was watching this is there are quite a bit of songs.
Yeah.
And it's front-loaded with songs at the beginning. There's not, other than songs, there's not very much dialogue. Not too much dialogue in general in the film. It's not just a talk-heavy, it's not a talkie. It is a talkie, but it's not super dialogue-heavy. But especially at the beginning, there's just a lot of, you know, songs that lead the plot and action as they're coming out of winter quarters.
Right. I feel like anybody who does talk, it's almost a negative except for Timothy the Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone who talks. Yeah,
the boys who are taunting Dumbo, the other clowns who are, you know, are talking about they need to go talk to the boss about getting a raise.
Right. Everybody, everyone except for
the other elephants.
Yeah. Everyone except for Timothy that talks is a negative.
Well, except for the crows. The crows are very much positive.
It's true. But they start out negative, but then turn positive.
Well, negative towards Timothy. But yeah. I think they are always sort of positive toward Dumbo.
Or neutral, at least.
We'll get there. So this leads off with the song, Look Out, Mr. Stork.
Look out for Mr. Stork. And I was just like, oh, yes, this is the let's push off the birds and the bees talk for just a few more years.
Yes.
This is how babies come.
Yeah, and it's actually quite sad. I mean, it's very cute. Like, oh, look at all the baby animals, because he doesn't love baby animals. It's
right.
It's like he knew this would be a success on YouTube before he knew what YouTube is, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's baby animals are just universal, and they always have been.
True.
So baby animals come floating through the sky, and then it really does hit an emotional punch at the very beginning where it's, you know, Jumbo, she doesn't have one, and
right.
and she's, it's basically, this is the story of a barren woman.
Well, I mean, it is really sad, as I have several friends who have struggled with infertility as well, and it's just like, wow, that is like, you look around and you see everybody else having these mm-hmm. experiences, and it's like, why, where's my experience? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't I, am I not, Where's mine?
Although, where's the husband? Not the husband. Where's the dad? You notice all the other ones, there were twos.
It's true.
There was mom and a dad, or, you know, a mama tiger and a papa tiger. But, like, hers, they're just all these female elephants in this.
Yeah, but
in this. So where's all the bull elephants is my question. Like, no wonder you didn't have a baby arrive. Like, you didn't have the other component to make a baby happen. Sweetie, she needs the birds and the bees.
But bull elephants are not ones that you want to be taking on a train.
That is true.
You also get to see like all of the other elephants who you start out really disliking them.
Oh, yes.
From the very beginning. Just, yes, I really do not like you.
Mm-hmm.
But then finally, you know, Mr. Stork comes along, and who is voiced by the none other than Sterling Holloway.
Ah, Winnie.
Winnie the Pooh. Or Ka. Even yes. Winnie the Pooh. So you have Sterling Holloway. And also this was Verna Felton's.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the elephants as well. And she was like the main one.
Oh, yes. When you hear her voice, you're just like, you just that's her. Verna. I know you.
And so this is both of their first time in Disney film. So I was like, that is cool.
And this continued a paycheck that they probably got every few years.
Yes, Shazam.
Disney calling. I will answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So the next song is Casey Jr. Casey Jr. coming down the track. It's actually a very good song.
It's a great song. And this is one of those songs that I always, not always sing, but it's like when I hear this.
Every day
I sing this song. But every time that somebody brings up the movie Dumbo, I always think of Casey Jr.
Well, Casey Jr. is kind of an iconic part.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a character. He is a character, you know.
Taken after the
Little Engine That Could.
Little Engine That Could.
You know, and they do have that moment. I think I can. I knew I could.
No.
Very, very good. So, and Casey Jr. is something, Dumbo itself, which we'll talk about, has quite a legacy in the parks. Casey Jr. has made it into the parks because it's a very easy way to pack people in. Let's put them in animal cages and run them around. And so that's fun. And, you know, again, I was talking about this film has a lot of filler. Like, yes, this is a fun moment, you know, Casey Jr., great. But I mean, really, what it's just getting us from point A to point B and taking 5 minutes to do so. I don't know if we needed it, but again, there's not much here.
Yeah.
So need it.
There you go. We need to make this longer than 30. Push it.
Yep.
But then you get Happy Birthday So I wonder how much money they had to pay for.
Yeah, I mean, this was early days of, you know, rights and copyright and whatnot, but I'm sure they paid. Nowadays, don't have to pay for that.
Woo! But I will sing Happy Birthday all I want and record it, and no one can stop me.
Happy birthday, Dumbo Junior.
They're like, this is Jumbo Junior. This is still part of the service. I love him. He's so cute.
He's one of the best characters, I think.
Yeah.
Very short lived, but very funny and hilarious.
So Jumbo finally gets her baby, and it is a bouncing baby boy with giant ears.
Giant ears. So introduce plot point that is going to basically be mentioned here throughout.
This is the thing.
I mean, we've all seen babies or children with, you know, ears that are slightly larger than perhaps proportional.
Some people are famous for their big ears.
But this is gargantuan.
Right.
And here's the thing. For an elephant.
Yeah. And I mean, you can tell that they're all Asian elephants. And it feels like he probably was supposed to go to maybe the African elephants.
Yeah.
But didn't. And so maybe that's why.
That's the mix-up.
But I feel like, you know, it's interesting. At this point when she's like, everybody's looking at this babe. Oh my goodness, isn't he just so cute? Just so adorable. Oh, everyone's oohing and aahing. And then the moment that there's some type of, in their words, defect, being the big ears, it's all of a sudden shameful.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I watch this movie, it's hard for me to watch it without seeing it through my own lens. I mean, anybody, you could watch this and you can say, you know, the big ears could be kind of a metaphor for anybody who has any type of thing that makes them different in any way, from personality to a bad haircut to
glasses, a big nose.
Right. All the way down to maybe even race or something.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, it's hard for me to see it without seeing my own story, because I have a sister with Down syndrome and she is 2.5 years older than me. And so I just grew up, and like my mom would tell me stories about how different it is today versus how it was back in those days. Because she says that when she was younger, you know, the children with Down syndrome or even with any type of special needs, most of the time they were secluded.
Mm-hmm.
They were kept out of sight. No one ever saw them. They were away from the world, and for multiple reasons, but a lot of reasons were because people were so just cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it breaks my heart to hear some of the stories that she would tell me about just different people that she had heard of. And just cruel. And so it was hard for me to watch this part too, because I was just thinking about that so much, because you see Dumbo, he's so cute, he's so precious, and any baby out there that's born is just, it's so precious and so cute, and just so they are special in their own way and everything, and who knows what lives they'll touch and everything. So it was tender for me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh.
So, So at that point, once again, I love Jumbo, how she just was like, I don't even care what you guys think. She pulls out the little cork or the screw holding the separator up and just like knocks him in the face.
Yes.
Just like, get out. I'm like, go Jumbo.
Which you should. I mean, when you have that negative presence in your life, that's actually something you need to do, and you have absolutely the right to do, is get them out.
Yeah.
You know, or leave the situation. And so lots of great lessons learned from her and how to handle that situation, because they really never change.
No, they don't.
Maybe at the very end when suddenly becomes the hero.
It's a very Rudolph situation.
Yes.
Like, oh, he's famous. Now we can like you.
Yeah, exactly. Which is not necessarily the attitude to have.
No. Now that you're rich and famous and have your giant your own personal steam, like
Airstream
connected to the back. Now we like you. No.
Yeah. Don't take that moral to heart, folks.
No.
So next we have the song, which is the Song of the Roustabouts, aka Building the Circus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yay. Do, 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 do. Again, more filler.
I have
filler.
No idea what the words for this song are. And this one is a filler song. You know, I understand that they needed to build the tent. But
of course, every great circus needs a big
to build
the
tent. Yes. But can't tell you for the life of me what any of the words were.
So as I was watching this movie, I was just thinking about how this really is sort of kind of a relic, the circus.
Yeah.
You know, because recently it was announced that the Barnum and Bailey Circus is now closing its doors. It's going bankrupt, which was really kind of the last great American circus left.
Right.
And I mean, it had a good run for probably about 100 years.
Which is
incredible. Or probably more, maybe 150, 100 years. And now it's really just, there's no place for the circus anymore in today's society.
Yeah.
Because there's just the treatment of animals or just the prominent use of animals. Like, even if they are humanely treated, I feel like PETA always is going to
right.
be against the fact that these are creatures that are not from here and, you know, they just don't approve of their situation,
right?
Even though a lot of the animals, you know, not always, but in some cases, they're rescue animals and they're actually putting them in a better situation than we were before and whatnot. But we are not going to go into that rant. But it's just interesting to see that this is completely different than just the perception of the circus is much different in this movie and back then than some people would now. I mean, back then, probably everyone universally loved the circus.
Right.
It came to town and it was just amazing. It was fun.
It was the thing.
Now it's like, oh, I can't go there. Certain people just, you know, morally are against it. Some people still love it. Yeah. It's long gone. RIP circus.
RIP.
You know, now circuses. Hey, we can't use the animals in the way, but hey, we can put acrobats and people in whatever situations we want.
And that's really what is now the circus.
Yes, exactly.
It's Cirque du Soleil. Mm-hmm.
Right? Or if you have a traveling thing come through town, it's kind of a circus, but it's more of like a fair amusement park where you have the big... You know, the wheel that comes in and all the fun games and the carnies come to town, right?
Carnies
it's more of a carnival.
Right.
that still is kind of reminiscent of that. Because when I lived in Texas, there was definitely a circus-esque that would come to town. And it would literally just find a random field pick up shop and open up doors. And here in Arizona, it's more of the fair carnival that picks up in... a mall parking lot.
Yes.
It's not so
I
much
see
the
it every,
open.
All the time when I drive down the freeway.
It's like, carnival's
it's back. Carnies have come back to town.
So that sort of world still exists, but animals, I think, are slowly being far removed from that. So anyways, interesting.
It
look
is.
Back on history.
Quite. So after this, you have the part, as we were talking about, where the boys start tugging on the ears.
Naughty boys. They should go to Pleasure Island and be turned into donkeys.
I was just ticked. I was reading. I was just like, oh my gosh. Once again, because it's like, I saw this in a dual world. Like one, it's like, first, any animal. I'm an animal lover. And so even the thought of like somebody not being totally, completely nice and loving to my cat would just like make me so ticked off. But like this was just, it had multiple meanings, as I said before. But I was ticked.
They're very rude, and you know, no wonder Jumbo gets quite angry. I mean, she is basically defending her child from the attacks and torments, and of course that is not cool. The owners of the circus say she's a mad elephant and they put her away, they isolate her from the baby, and she's just basically locked up in a cage.
Right.
And it, like, really, if you were good owner of the circus, wouldn't you realize she's a mother,
right?
Like any wild animal or any animal, when their child or
mama bear,
offspring is being attacked, they will absolutely react in a certain way.
Right.
Like, this should not have been but then again, we wouldn't have a movie without it. But to me, I'm just thinking like, no, that's really just bad owners. You're not for recognizing sure, obviously. That.
Obviously, we've seen that this
you're
is
a mad elephant.
This
you're
is
not
a horrible circus.
Yes, true.
I would never. I mean, this is probably one of those reasons why Barnum and Bailey Circus was got, you know,
yeah.
had so many problems over the last 75 years. Because this movie, like, they just portray circuses as being incredibly horrible.
Yes.
Like, let's build the tower even higher. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Let's push
idea.
The elephant off. Great. Nothing bad could happen.
Nah, it'll be fine. They'll laugh twice as much. It's all mathematics. Like, oh my gosh, these people are idiots.
Good times.
It's just, this is just not the circus you want to be
no,
able to support.
No, it does not paint this in a good light.
No. But then you see, once again, the gossiping elephants about Jumbo when she gets put into, you know.
Of course, the mother's in the slammer.
She's in the slammer. Oh, man. But it's just so, like, once again, you really have a hard time, like, you just can't like these elephants. But you see it. Everybody has seen that type of reaction to people, you know, when they mm-hmm, gossip. Mm-hmm. And people when they... when they are, let's shun him. Let's.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's just, yeah, it's just bad. Very clear. Do not be this.
Right.
You know, but, and the thing is, they're so much older than him. You know, they're adults and they're treating a child this way, which is really sad.
Oh, yeah.
But people do it. They
no, it happens. Yeah.
So.
And it's like those, there's some parents who will be like, honey, we don't play with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's...
yeah, exactly.
We don't play with them for whatever reason. Insert reason here. This is actually... it comes back to a story that I learned a big lesson from. When I was young, I went to a birthday party for a friend. My mom had me go with Marissa as well. So I'm thinking maybe I was 5 or 6, 7 maybe. And so she would have been 9 or 10. And so we went to this party, like present in hand. And the mom of my friend said, you're going to have to send her home, talking about Marissa, because she didn't want to have her there at the party. And it was...
it's contagious.
Well, it was just like, one, I can think back, okay, maybe she was thinking that she didn't want to have the extra stress. Like, she didn't understand. And that's the thing. Like, most people...
thought maybe it'd be extra work to watch her.
Right. Like, no, like... so there's, I can see how people, when they don't understand, they fear. And when they don't understand, they kind of just push away.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it was something that my mom, oh, she was ticked. She was always like this, but she always used that as an example of, if you have a party or you do any type of activity, you invite everyone. Everyone is always invited. You never shut somebody out like that. Because it was just like... she and my mom's like, how rude. Here you are, present in hand, waiting to give to this child. And mom is saying, no, go
home.
So
did you stay? Or did Marissa...
I remember I did stay. And my mom did take Marissa back. But it was like from then on out, my mom was ticked.
That's very frustrating. Which is very sad because this is turning into basically a Marissa episode.
I know, it is. And I don't want it to.
But Marissa is like the most amazing person. If you've ever interacted with her, she is a joy and she lights up your life.
It's
like
true.
She'll send me messages. They just make me smile. She's a sweet, sweet soul. I love
her. She is. And so that's... I'm sorry to turn this into a Marissa episode, but it's so hard not to, especially I've been spending a lot of time with her going to different things lately too. So it's just been like on my mind. And then we meet Timothy the mouse, which I like his style.
Yes. He becomes an advocate for Dumbo and really becomes Dumbo's only friend when his own kind has shunned him.
Yeah.
And Timothy is quite a little smooth talker and fast talker. probably the most talkative character, especially when you put him next to Dumbo, who does not speak at all.
Right, right.
He's very much a mute character, sort of like Dopey.
Yeah. What's funny, and they play on this too, you know, they turn Timothy, this character, into a mouse because they thought it would be funny.
Yes.
You know, the giant elephant afraid of the little bitty mouse.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was their main reason for turning Timothy into a mouse. But I also kind of saw it as like, you know, in the story of the Good Samaritan, one of the things that a lot of people don't really realize is the reason why it means something that it's the Samaritan. So basically the man goes on a travel and he gets beat up and stolen and robbed. And like there are people that pass by that could have and should have stopped mm-hmm. to help. Mm-hmm. But it was instead the Samaritan who from someone from Judea would have seen them as almost an enemy, mm-hmm. almost like just shun each other type thing. And but it was that one who was the least likely to help that helped.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw that. I was like, that's kind of cool. I don't think that they meant that.
But Chelsea saw it.
But I saw it.
Yeah, so then we start our little duo, but very quickly, Dumbo is thrown into his first job, which is the Tower of Elephants, where he is going to be the crowning jewel, and doesn't go over too well. Because of guess who?
I love the little quote says the different elephants are climbing up. They're climbing up on each other. And there's this one who's like, gained a little weight, haven't we, honey? Oh, be quiet, you.
Those elephants are good for something.
They are good for those moments.
Again, they're even mean to their own kind. That's the thing. Like, yeah. Those who gossip and who are very, you know, much backbiting, it doesn't... Don't expect it to be one way. If you're in their inner circle, it will come back around.
It will.
So
there's never an inner circle.
Well, hey, they bring themselves up by tearing others down. Right. So even at some point, it becomes those in their own realm.
Right.
So of course, Dumbo is the, you know, Butterfingers who messes it all up, and you know, everything topples down. No good.
And then you go into Casey Jr. in a minor key. I was like, way to show that the world is sad.
Well, yeah, because in his big error, he actually causes the whole Big Top to fall down.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes me very, again, we already knew this was a shady circus, but right. Definitely a shady circus if that alone can knock it over.
Well, I mean, these are elephants flying into these giant...
True. I guess that is one sort of use case they did not anticipate, but okay.
That's funny. But then, oh my gosh, they've made him a clown.
Oh, yes. You got to shame.
And, oh, the shame. And it's even more so, like... How sad. Okay, it's like, okay, somebody else has come in and done something horrible to this person. Therefore, I'm going to use that as even more of a reason to shun you.
Of course. That's like, the moral of the story.
Hate these.
Shun.
Hate them.
Oh, yes. So he's a clown. Okay, so then, you know, we do go to the moment, which is probably the most famous song, would you say, out of this?
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who are you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Is Baby All Mine.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, because it is the most tender and it's cute. And it's this moment between mother and son. Because again, she's still in exile. She's still
been away. And he hasn't even gone to see her.
Uh-huh.
Like, or at least they haven't shown.
Yeah.
And so it's like this whole time that is just so sad.
Yes. Oh.
I mean, I started tearing up even knowing that the song was coming.
Aww.
I was just like, oh no, here it comes. This should be not a surprise to anybody, but right as Timothy is wiping a tear as he's watching this whole scene,
uh-huh.
I wipe a tear at the exact same moment. I was like, I get you, Timothy, I get you. I'm right there with you. But then he turns around and he sees all of the... This is the part where you see all the clown shadows,
yes.
Which is actually quite humorous. Like, there's just the animation of it. It's like, this is really funny. Because, like, you've got these clowns coming. Like, one of them comes and you can just see he's, like, getting out of his outfits. And, like, one of them starts to look like a woman, but then just definitely a man. Just like, oh, wow.
Well, it's very timely because they're talking about, we're going to hit the big boss up for a raise. Which this is around the time of the animator strike. So,
oh,
you
really?
Know, maybe a little tie-in there. You know, and then they're...
I didn't put that
They're
together.
Celebrating. And to cheer Dumbo up, Timothy says, "Here, have a drink." And they, a drink they do have, because it sends them on this crazy psychedelic journey. Which is, well, I guess this is the most famous, is the Pink Elephants on Parade montage, which again, it's filler.
Yeah.
Unnecessary, I guess. What does it prove other than the fact that it just progresses the plot to where they end up in a tree at the end of this, and it's like, how did we get up here? You must have flown up here with your ears.
You were drunk. I'm thinking, okay, is this really what we're trying to teach kids?
Oh,
this
yes.
is how to discover your true potential, kids. Well, get drunk.
Get drunk, because, hey.
What?
Yeah, I mean... It was psychedelic, it was sweet, and then at the end of it, it's, hey.
You know what's funny, though? Like I said, I mostly ever watched or read the book, and so I never, in the book, it skips.
Not the original book,
not
but
the original.
Your book that yeah. shows all the Disney movies, yes.
Right, and in the book, it skips the Pink Elephants on Parade, and it doesn't even go to that. It just says they meet up with the crows.
Which, okay, sure.
There's no connection there as far as them in a tree.
Uh-huh.
It's just they meet up with the crows, and the crows say, "Hey, you should
yeah.
fly."
Yeah,
and
which makes no sense.
Right?
We have
used this magic feather.
Yeah,
and then anytime that I did watch the movie, I would always fast forward this part just because I thought it was so creepy.
Yeah, it's.
And so I never really put together, like, why did they have that point?
I don't like this part either. Like, I know it's iconic and people love it, but to me, it's just like, I agree. It's a fast forward. It's like, ugh, I'm just not a fan.
It's just like, oh, I don't.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
Very bizarre.
I just don't like it. It's
abstract in a way.
Well, and this is right in the line with Winnie the Pooh and the Heffalumps.
Oh, yes, exactly. They were like, that Pink Elephants was a hit. So you know right. what we need in this filler movie? Heffalumps and Woozles.
Yeah, I just was like, man, I'm just not a fan. It just was weird to me. But we get to the crows. I love the crows' voices.
Oh, the crows are great.
They have the greatest voices. The greatest, like, I think them together just having all these jokes and everything. I was just, man... I want to be hanging out with you guys more often.
Well,
you would be fun.
So the leader of the crows is voiced by Cliff Edwards. And all the crows actually are voiced by an African-American group called the Hall Johnson Choir.
Ooh.
And so, you know, they were specifically hired because they were this choir and they had this great song. And so they're all, you know, very much in harmony, especially when they sing. And it's a right. great number.
It is great.
And I just love all the puns in it. And
I know.
It's very clever and funny.
I've heard a rubber band. And I've seen a peanut stand.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a needle that winked its eye. But I dumb and seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
Very talented. And very cool for them. They got this yeah. opportunity to...
it's epic.
Sing them, yeah.
I mean, this was iconic mm-hmm. and has now been... This is... They lived on forever because of this movie.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty awesome. So I like them a lot, and they really do help Dumbo find his true potential.
Well, not until Timothy gives them a guilt trip. This is like the guilt trip that I wish that he would have given everybody else throughout the whole movie, but it's finally come to that point where he's always been the glass half full guy. Like, hey, you were great, man. You did a great job. They're supporting you. They're celebrating you. You know, He's trying to make Dumbo feel better, even though they've just been totally railing on him. But at this point in time, he loses his cool. And he's like, no, how would you feel? And so he's just totally railing and giving out the guilt trip. And I thought it was sorely needed throughout the whole thing.
Yes. Put everybody in their place. So when I see an elephant fly, and guess what? He does.
Yeah. That magic feather, man.
So it does wrap up very quickly. They put him in the situation again where the building's on fire. He has to jump from the top of a building.
Oh, this is much, 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 much higher than before.
Yes.
This would have killed him.
Yes. Again, PETA would have been incredibly upset.
I would have been upset.
One, if this were real, and two, well, even if it weren't real.
If you were there watching this, if you were in the audience and you saw this poor little baby elephant.
Oh, gosh.
Drop from a 200-foot, like, building into... a little pile, a little pot, you know. No.
Yeah, that's just a big no all around.
That's just a
but, big... hey, it wouldn't be a movie without the magic ending with the magic feather.
The feather was just a gag, man. You can do this. It was just a gag.
And he does.
And he does. And it turns around just as quick as Rudolph has once said before.
Oh, yes. And Q, everyone's happy. Everyone loves him. You know, he has no bitter feelings. And he's a celebrity superstar.
Superstar.
Has his own caboose. Flying behind it.
I love that. I love the fact that it looks does look exactly like an airstream.
Oh, for sure. It's amazing. Yeah, nice and shiny.
I know. Everyone else is like, oh, yeah, cool. But the whole train, though, is like all nice and spruced up.
Oh, because so. It's because he's bringing it just like Dumbo did for Walt Disney Company. He's bringing in the bacon,
yes.
Bringing home all the money, putting them back up top.
Woo-hoo.
So very, very, I guess, fitting,
yeah,
considering what really happened for this movie. So we are done talking about the movie.
Yeah, so that's the end of the movie.
It's the end.
Yeah.
It closes. No end credits because this was not that era.
Well,
it was pre-credits. I mean, as I was watching it, I was like, fast forward. I mean, although it was very nice, it has a nice song and cool animation, but I mean, it's just different era for mm-hmm. sure. So what would you rate this movie?
This is hard to rate because it is so iconic. It's a younger movie. Young, I don't know. Like I said, the whole pink elephants thing just ruins it for me. But all the stories in it are great lessons. It's hard for me to rate. As far as a story goes, I wish that it was a little bit more... I mean, the ending, I don't know how you would have ended it better, is the thing.
It ended on quite a high note.
Like, I don't know.
All things turning up Dumbo.
Right. I'm going to say 3.5 stars as a film in general, but I will stay asterisk, good movie that should be seen by everyone.
Yes. Yeah, so this movie is not my favorite, although, you know, watching it, it does have its good points, but I do feel that it has a lot of filler. It's very short. It's so short, but it feels long,
yeah.
Which is not a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, and they're going to be remaking this.
Well, we will talk about that, okay. But yeah, it's not my favorite movie. It doesn't have a lot of replay value, so you give it 3.5, I'm going to give it 3. Okay. I know a lot of people are not going to agree with that rating, but again, this is the show where the ratings mean nothing. This is a movie that doesn't quite resonate with me, and I don't need to watch that often, and just right. doesn't, I mean, it's very simple.
It's good to have in your arsenal.
Everything is simplified. Simplified animation, simplified story, simplified characters. There's really not much motivating going on here. So,
yeah. But it's hard to say no to Dumbo. He's so cute.
He is very iconic. I mean, when you look at the Disney parks, we talked about Casey Jr. And to me, when I was younger,
the flying elephants,
that was seriously the best
ride. I've only ever ridden on that ride, like, twice.
Because it has a crazy line, at mm-hmm. least at Disneyland, and it's in the sun.
Yeah.
It's at least the queue is, and it's very, very hot, and the payoff is not worth it. It's like a minute yeah. and a few
but
seconds.
It's one of the most iconic rides, too,
yes.
Because all of the commercials, they have the Dumbo ride, because that's one of those iconic things for Disney, is
yeah.
Dumbo.
Yep, and kids love that ride.
Yeah.
Now, older, I don't really need to go. It's mm-hmm. There's other ways that I can... enjoy Disneyland.
Right, exactly. Get me on Indiana Jones. Let's
oh,
do this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thrill ride I'm looking for.
But let's talk about the coming up.
So if you've been living in a hole this whole time, Disney is basically remaking every single movie
known to man.
And recently they've done Cinderella. They've done Beauty and the Beast. They did The Jungle Book. Mulan is on the slate. Winnie the Pooh is getting a live-action remake.
Oh,
Lion
yes.
King is getting a live-action remake.
How do they make Lion King live-action when the entire thing is animals anyway?
It's going to be like Jungle Book, you know, which is not live-action.
Jungle Book had a person.
One. Don't ask me. This is not my doing, Chelsea.
There are 19 films on slate from here out.
So bad. It's funny because this was announced probably a few years ago. They started really announcing this.
Yeah.
And it was like... oh, wow. Now there's 8 in the tank. Now there's 9. Now there's 10. When will they ever stop? 19?
19.
19 is so bad. I can't even... This really does goes to show that originality in Disney is dead, and that it's just really all about the shareholders, and they know that nostalgia sells, and they know that these classics are classics and they're great, but hey, if we can capitalize on that in a new way, because one, you know, it's not like we can keep re-releasing these forever, because now that they're on digital, they really, that's the only format you need from this point going on, unless you never bought it initially. So, you know, what can we do? And movies are huge for them, and so yeah, let's just remake it, because it's going to make almost $1 billion every time. I'm not going to say no to $1 billion times 19. Just can't.
Oh man,
I can't.
You want to. your soul wants to.
I don't. It does not.
So let's talk a little bit about that new one. What's going to happen?
Okay, so initially this was announced in 2014. So 3 years ago, and then a year later it was announced that Tim Burton was going to be the director. So if you think a pink elephant on parade was wonky, just imagine a whole movie of just darkness and pink elephants and creepiness and craziness, and it'll be interesting. It's just definitely a new twist on it. Then Will Smith was reportedly announced to be a part of it back in early 2017, but recently has been announced that he has pulled out. Colin Farrell is going to be playing his character, and also Danny DeVito is going to be the ringleader.
That makes sense.
The ringleader Medici. It's 2017, so obviously they're going to beef up the story and the characters a little more. That being said, I'm still not that excited to see this remake. This is the one out of all of them that I'm like, no, thank you.
Out of all of them, this is the one?
Well, yes, actually. I mean, I would rather see a Lion King one, even though that's very low still. And Winnie the Pooh, sure. This one's just, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I don't know. The fact that Tim Burton is on this, just as you were saying, with the whole elephants on parade, and I'm just like, this is going to be even worse. I don't know what to expect. Is it going to be like, I mean, for some reason, what just came into my head was when you know, the Batman movies from the 90s. Where they like go in all to these, like glow in the dark paint was huge, you know, at that time. So it was like, I just feel like it's going to be that type of a feel. I don't know why that.
Wow.
I don't know.
Batman Forever, huh? That's what you think this is going to be.
That is the picture.
Dumbo Forever.
That is the picture, though, that is like in my mind. So I don't. Yeah, that's it.
So whenever that movie comes out, maybe we will review it and give our thoughts and see if really Chelsea's green neon paint premonition came true.
But I've you know been unseen about everything when I see an elephant fly
with the wind.
When I see an elephant fly.
All right, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast. For all the fun show notes and links that we were referring to, please go to rotoscopers.com/144. That's also where you can go to join the conversation. Give us your thoughts, your review of Dumbo, because I'm sure most people don't have the opinion of me, or is a bit more negative towards this. It's still okay, but not my favorite. Chelsea, a bit more positive, and did get quite a bit out of this.
Yeah.
As far as moral. You can find us on the internet. We are at Rotoscopers everywhere. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, at Morgan Stradling. And Chelsea is on Twitter, Instagram, and other places at Chelsea Robson.
Yes, I am. And definitely, if you're wanting to be a part of the Roto Nation, that is where you get to, you know, join in the conversation on a more deeper level. Head on over to rotoscopers.com/Patreon. You can find out all about how you're able to submit what movies you want us to talk about as well.
Our next episode is another patron pick. We are going to be revisiting a film that we reviewed quite a long time ago, or at least a sort of similar thing. We are going to be reviewing Joseph King of Dreams. So we have done Prince of Egypt, and this is kind of the follow-up, a different Bible story done by DreamWorks. So I have never seen this one.
I haven't either.
So I'm really excited to, because I loved Prince of Egypt. And this is done by Steve Hickner, mm-hmm. Who directed the first one. And I'm interested to see why this is a patron pick. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure we're going to have lots of good things to say. So stay tuned. And until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
And today we are going to be talking about an animated movie. No,
Really? I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and I was talking to a friend of mine recently. Man, peeps, I lost my voice this last week, and you think it sounds like bad right now. You didn't want to hear it a couple days ago. It was gone. So actually, I think I sound pretty amazing considering where I was yesterday or even the day before. So I have a friend, and she has a son who has... They actually never knew. It was never being diagnosed what he has. But she and I talk a lot about just our experiences together. And there is a class that both Marissa and he go to. And at the end of the year, they have the talent show. And the whole class is all kids with special needs, ranging from Down syndrome to, as you know, I said, not some things that haven't been diagnosed, people with special needs. And they have their talent show at the end of the year. And everybody brings whatever talent they have. So like Marissa, she'll come and she'll do her sign language. You know, when some kids will come and they'll do hula hoop, you know, they'll just, they have like all of these talents that are just so cute. And there was one that's like the interpretive dance. And it's just like, yes, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
But the thing is, like, everybody in there is so just... They just love each other so much, and they are always in cheering each other on and be like, yeah, like so supportive no matter what, because everybody has varying degrees of whatever, but they just all love each other and support each other so much. And she was talking about how she had her grandson with her at this activity, and at the end, her grandson was like, you know what, Nana, I learned something today. She's like, oh, really? What did you learn? It's like, well, I learned that some people are nice and some people are smart. I'm lucky because I'm both. But what I learned is that it's better to be nice than to be smart.
Aww.
And he was like 9 or 10 years old. And it was just like, that right there is the lesson of life. It's better to be nice.